Thank you, sir. That song always does something to me. I love that song. Praise God. Well, do you love the Word?
Yes.
Amen. If you don't love the Word, start loving the Word. Praise the Lord. You know, David said about the Word. David's a good example to follow. I mean, he made some mistakes, but he had the right heart. And the Bible says that David had a heart after God. And he said this in the book of Psalms. He said, "I rejoiced at your word as one who struck it rich." Amen. He said, finding your word is like finding the winning lottery ticket. Why? Because this word can do so much more for you than money can do for you. But he said, I'm as excited as if I found a pot of gold. Glory to God. Because this book can bring healing to you. It can bring peace to you. It can bring deliverance to you. It can give you all the answers. Everything you need to know about your life and how to be successful and how to be victorious is in this book. Praise God. So we love the word this morning. Before we get into the word, let's pray. Make sure that we ask God to say what He wants to say and do what He wants to do. Father, we love You so much. We're just honored to be here in Your presence this morning. Jesus, I know that You're here because the Word says so. And we honor You, Lord. We thank You for dying on that cross for us. We thank You for sitting down at the right hand of the Father. We thank You for being our mediator and interceding between us and the Father. We thank You for that name of Jesus that we can pray. And we thank You that You hear us when we pray. Father, You're a good God. You're a merciful God. You're a loving God. We thank You for all that You've done, all that You're doing, and all that You will do. Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. Father, this is what's going to bring people help. This is what's going to bring people change. And we give You praise. We give You glory. Thank You, Father, that I'll speak as the oracles of God this morning. That what I say that comes out of my mouth, Father, will be what You want said, Lord. Your will be done. What You want said, what You want done in this service, may it be done. You be God here this morning. We'll just yield to what You want. Father, we thank You for change. We thank You that we're going farther than we've ever been before. We thank You our best days are yet ahead of us. And we give You the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Mark 25. If you don't, we'll have the Bible on the screen for you to help you out. I encourage you to bring your Bibles to church. If you don't have a Bible, I always give you the invitation to come let me know, and I'll make sure to get you a nice Bible the next time you show up. I have to real quick give a shout-out because I said I would, and this person's deserving of it. Now, she better be listening because there's a real cool person at the Olean Hampton Inn who runs the front desk. Her name is Trishina, and she's just been such a blessing to us in the 3 weeks that we've been there. So accommodating, so helpful. Baked us a whole batch of cookies last night for after the service. And she said, "Pastor Mike, give me a shout out this morning." I said, "I will, but you better be listening." So she better be listening. We'll quiz her. We'll give her the secret code word for her to be listening is Don Beebe. I don't know why I thought of that, but that's, if she does, I'm going to say, "Trishina, what's the code word?" She don't say Don Beebe, she's in trouble. So just a shout out to her. Hopefully someday y'all can meet her. She's working the front desk, but she keeps creeping in closer because she just wants to hear the word. And she got a bunch of the CDs that we preach. She just loves the word, loves God, listens to us on live stream. And so praise the Lord. Good things are happening. Hallelujah. Well, Mark chapter, what did I tell you to go to? Mark chapter 5? Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Now, I want to just warn you right now, if you don't want to be set free, leave the service now. If you want to walk out of here set free, get ready because today's your day. Amen. The Lord has directed me in this service to do something at the end that's going to be helpful to people, and it's going to change people, and it's going to really help them. So if you don't want to be set free, you know the door's right there. But if you want to be set free, stay put and you'll be blessed. But we saw this last week, and I'm picking up last week. This is the conclusion to last week where we talked about worry and we talked about peace. And we see this in a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Had suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she came in the press behind, she had heard of Jesus. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, "If I may touch His clothes, I'll be whole." And straightway or immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue or power had gone out of Him, He turned about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And His disciples said unto Him, "You see the multitude thronging you or touching you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And He said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." And we're going to hold it right on verse 34 there. And the first thing that gets me excited about this is he said, your faith made you whole. I love that because I love the fact that my deliverance, my blessing, my healing, my prosperity, my walking in victory does not depend on you. My victory does not depend on my wife. My victory does not depend on the neighbor across the street. My victory depends on my faith. And why do I like that? Because then nobody else is to blame, and nobody else can try to take me out of my blessing. Amen? I'm thankful that I can change things by my faith. And her faith changed something that day. There was multitudes touching Jesus. That's why the disciples were so surprised. They said, Lord, you see the multitudes around you. We know by studying Jesus, thousands followed him. Remember the feeding of the 5,000? That was just, they didn't even count the women and the children. They just said there were 5,000 men besides women and children. So there could have been 10, 15,000 people all following Jesus. So there's no doubt as he's walking through the crowd that day, many people are touching him. Many people with needs, many people hurting in body, many people hurting in mind, many people hurting financially. But the Bible only records one that got it. And Jesus stopped because he knew somebody got something from him. And it's so interesting, he said to her, daughter, your faith made you whole. He didn't say, thank God I was here today. He didn't say, oh, I'm so wonderful, and where would you be without me? He said, your faith made you whole. And so I want to encourage you, your faith can make you whole. Whatever's missing in your life, whatever's hurting, whether it's a relationship, whether it's with family, whether it's finances, whether it's with a job, whether it's with your body, your faith can make that thing whole. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But this is what I want you to see. Jesus didn't just say, well, praise the Lord, you're whole now. He gives her instructions of how to keep that wholeness. He says, your faith made you whole, so now she's good. That disease that was there for 12 years is healed. He tells her something. Now, he didn't suggest this. Sometimes I think we think the Word of God is a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. Well, God puts something in there for our benefit. God puts something in there for our blessing. He never wants to lead us astray. He never wants to hurt our life. We need to get to the place where we trust him. Amen. He says, go in turmoil. No. Go in worry. Go in anxiety. No. He says, go in peace. So many Christians are going and they're not going in peace. And there's not wholeness in their life. And the reason is because peace is not there. And the lack of peace robs them of this wholeness. And now notice what he says, go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Well, I thought she was already whole. Well, if you study the Greek translation of that, and Amplified says this, he says, go in peace and be ye continually healed of thy plague. He says, the one way, daughter, that you are going to continually stay healed of this disease that plagued you for 12 years is for you to walk out of here and to not get into anxiety, not get into worry, not get into doubt, and not get into fear. Do you see that? It's important, if we want wholeness in our life, that we go out in peace. Today will help you with that. Now, we're not going to turn there. We'll leave that one up. But in Mark 4, remember when the disciples, Jesus said, let's go to the other side. You remember that? And he said, let's go to the other side. Jesus got done preaching, so they got in the boat. And when they got out of the middle of the water, a great storm arose. Remember that story? And the disciples, Jesus was sleeping on the boat, the Bible says, and the disciples thought they were dying. They woke Jesus up. They said, Master, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? In their mind, they were as good as dead, right? That's a trial. That's what you call a heavyweight trial. Anybody in here going through a heavyweight trial? Anyone in here ever been through a heavyweight trial? Well, if you haven't, get ready because you might. They were in the perfect will of God on that boat, and they went through a heavyweight trial. And they thought they were dying. Just because you're in God's perfect will, that's when the devil wants to stir things up. Because when you're in God's perfect will, you're going to more. You're going to increase, and the devil wants to stop that. So don't be discouraged. Don't be sulking. Don't be shocked and amazed and hurt. Be glad that you're worthy, that I'm pressing on, and the devil's so afraid of my life, he doesn't want me to get what I'm going to. Praise God. So they woke him. They said, Master, don't you care? And so let me ask you something. Were the disciples in peace? No. Worry, fear, and doubt and unbelief is not peace. And Jesus said something to him. He said, why are you so fearful? Or you could say it this way, where's your peace? And then he goes on to say, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So we can see that the lack of peace or worry, anxiety, fear, and doubt, all those things that rob you of your peace, will not only take you out of peace, it'll take you out of faith. And that's a problem because your faith can make you whole. And if you're out of that faith, there might not be wholeness. And if you're out of that faith, you might not be able to receive the promises of God, because Hebrews 6 and 12 says, we receive the promises of God through faith and patience. It doesn't come through anything else but your faith and patience. How did salvation come? It didn't just fall onto you like a ripe cherry off a cherry tree, did it? Your salvation came to you because you heard the word of God and you believed Jesus really died and rose again and you confessed it with your mouth. That's the same way every other promise is going to come to you. You're going to hear the word of God concerning healing, concerning victory, concerning prosperity, concerning protection, concerning things over your children. Faith is going to build up on the inside of you and you're going to confess it out of your mouth and the confession will bring the possession. Just like your salvation, when you confessed it, you possess salvation. And so it is so important that we go in peace. And the body of Christ are a bunch of people that are not in peace. They're full of anxiety. They're full of worry. They're full of fear. They're full of doubt. They're full of unbelief. And their lives are suffering for it. And frankly, as a pastor, it makes me mad because I love people and I want to see people blessed. And so today we're going to help you with that. Go to Philippians 4 and verse 6 real quick, if you would. Hallelujah. At the end of the service, I'm going to do something that God directed me to do. It'll cause it to be burned in you and to ingrain it in you about not being worried. Philippians 4 and verse 6. How many of you believe the Bible? Amen. I believe the Bible. That's why I'm here. Be careful for nothing. Now, that's a little blind to us in the King James. That's just another way of saying be anxious or do not worry about anything. Now, when he says be careful or be anxious or be worried for nothing, do you think he meant what he said? Or do you think Jesus made a mistake and then he was in heaven and said, oh man, I should have said, there's some things that you definitely should be worried about. Or do you think Jesus didn't miss it? I don't think the Holy Ghost missed it when he told the Apostle Paul, be anxious for nothing. And this goes along with what Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 25. He said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Or you could say it this way, and the more modern translation would say it this way. Do not be worried about your life. And he goes on and talks about all the things of life that we need, the basic necessities of life. He said, I don't want you even worrying about the smallest things. He's so big, he doesn't want you worrying about the big or the little. And he says, be careful or be anxious for nothing. That tells me that it is possible for a Christian, a child of God in 2013 in America to live a life without worry. It's possible. If it's not, then he's a very unjust God to tell us that. Now, you might be going through hell on earth. You might be going through turmoil. And you say, Pastor, I have no idea how I'm even going to get to that place. Well, that's why you're in church, to hear the word, to find out how to get there. Because that's a possibility. That's a possibility to live. Does that mean you'll be free from tests and trials? No. Does that mean you'll be free from hell knocking on your door every so often? No. But what it does mean is when hell shows up, you stand in faith. You stand your ground. And you stand in victory. And that hell subsides because hell, the gates of hell, cannot prevail against the Christian that does the word of God. It's true. Yeah, let me say this. You know the Bible, you know why the devil fights the faith message so hard? Because the one thing the devil cannot overcome is faith. Remember Jesus told Peter, Peter, the devil wants you. Luke 18 or 19, I believe that is. He says, the devil desires to have you. What's the devil's resume? Stealing, killing, destroy. Peter, the devil desires to have you. He desires to take from you. He desires to destroy you. And Jesus said, but I've prayed for you, Peter. And notice what Jesus prayed. It gives us such a clue and a key into how important it is. He says, he doesn't say, Peter, I've prayed that God would take that away from you. He didn't say, Peter, I pray that the devil would leave you alone. He says, Peter, I pray that your faith wouldn't fail. Jesus knew whether or not the devil was going to get Peter, was going to rise and fall on his faith. Remember in Ephesians 6, talking about the armor of God? It goes through and it lists all sorts of armor. But then at the end it says, but above all. Above all, that's putting an emphasis on something. It says, above all these things, if anything, make sure that you have the shield of faith, whereby you may quench all. Everyone say all. All the fiery darts of the wicked one. The one thing that quenches every attack, left, right, high, and low, from the devil, is faith. Amen. That's why if he can rob you of your joy, if he can rob you of your peace, just like Jesus said, when those disciples were out of peace, faith was non-existent in their life. When faith is non-existent, there's no shield to quench those fiery darts, and the devil can come in. I said this on Wednesday night. When you're going through a heavyweight test and trial, and you're not in faith, it's like being in the midst of a hurricane or in the midst of a tornado. And instead of boarding up your windows, you're going right over to those windows, and you're lifting them wide open. And you're opening the door. You're opening the front door. You're opening the back door. You're opening the garage up. You're opening all entranceway, all windows, and you're saying, come on in, storm. That's why it's so important that you strive to walk out of here today. Nothing is going to rob me from my peace. We say, Pastor, that's a lofty thing to say. You don't understand what I'm going through. No, but Jesus does. And when he says, be anxious for nothing, he knew everything you'd go through, and he still put that in there. He knew the test you'd have with your family. He knew the test you'd have in your finances. He knew the test you'd have in your body, but he still put it in there because he needs to keep you in peace before you can be a faith giant. If faith is going to get that thing out of your life, it first starts with peace. I remember I told this story at the end of service last week, in case you don't remember it. There was a minister. Actually, it was Pastor Nancy Dufresne told the story of how symptoms, she had heard somebody talking about symptoms and how they had symptoms. And immediately the thought ripped through her mind, well, you've been around this person, now you're going to get the same thing. And that troubled her. That troubled her thinking of getting the same symptoms and getting the same thing on her body. So she immediately started confessing the word, by his stripes I'm healed. He heals all my diseases. He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquity. She's going through all the healing scriptures. Sent his word and healed him. And she got the symptoms. And she was mad. And she took it up with God. Sometimes you just need to ask God, why is this going on? What am I doing wrong? What am I missing? Amen? So, what adjustment do I need to make? Sometimes it's an all-out attack, but sometimes we need to make adjustments. And she said, Lord, you know me. I believe in healing. I preach healing. I live healing. And I was confessing, and I wasn't just saying that just because. I was saying that because I believe in healing. And the Lord said, the problem wasn't that you don't believe in healing. The problem was that you let that thought trouble you and you got out of peace. See, she started confessing things out of fear. She wasn't in peace. And when she got out of peace, she got out of faith. And she confessed. You can confess the word all you want, but if you're troubled in turmoil, it won't work. You can go around, by his stripes, I'm healed. And constantly you're thinking, oh boy. This is going to take me out. I'll never be healed. I'm so worried. What's going to happen to my house? What's going to happen to my kids? What's going to happen to my finances? Confess the word till you're blue in the face. It won't work if you're not in peace. It all starts with peace. So we need to get you into peace. Therefore, you can, whatever happens, it's okay. God's got this. Amen. And I'll remind you this because the devil will lie to you and say, you're all alone. You're all alone in this. You're the only one that knows what's going on. No temptation or no test or trial has overtaken you, that which is common to man, the Bible says. But God, who is faithful, will not allow you to go through something that you can't handle. Amen? There's nothing that should be able to take the Christian that's walking in the will of God, that's walking in the Word, that's walking in the peace of God. There's nothing that should be able to take him out. You shouldn't. Amen? You say, well, but Pastor, I know Sister so-and-so, and I know so-and-so. You don't know what so-and-so's faith was. You don't know what so-and-so's peace was. You might have seen them in church. You might have seen them raising their hands. You might have seen them rejoicing. You might not have seen them wringing their hands at night. You might not have seen them walking out of love and ruining their faith. You might not have seen them being miserable at home and being in doubt and unbelief. You don't know. That's why the secret things belong to the Lord. We don't judge. I don't judge my God based on somebody else's circumstance. I judge my God by the Word of God. Amen? So don't get your mind and say, well, I surely couldn't have healing if somebody else didn't have healing and they were such a good Christian. Stop it. He said you could have it. Oh, I certainly couldn't be blessed financially because so-and-so loved God and they lived in poverty their whole life. Stop it. Stop it. This is your roadmap. Not their life, not their circumstances, not what they're saying on the news, not what your mind's telling you. What does the Bible say? I saw a t-shirt once. I love it. God settled it. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. That's it. Amen. Don't try to pull me on in any other way. Because I remember someone, I was getting ready to go to Bible school. The minister tried to get me to go to his Bible school. Offered me a full-time job when I got home, working in his youth department. Benefits and everything to pay for my school. It was upstate New York. Wouldn't have to go all the way to Oklahoma. Wouldn't have to leave my family. Wouldn't have to leave my girlfriend, who's now my wife. Wouldn't have to leave hunting, which if you know me, you know how much I love it. And offered me, and he said, that healing business isn't for today. I knew so-and-so that was in church for however many years. And she didn't get healed. I don't know what so-and-so who's been in church for so many years believes. I don't know what so-and-so who's been in church for so many years is saying, because you'll have what you say, Jesus said. I don't know what so-and-so peace was like. And so it's important that we judge things according to the Word of God. Well, you ready for your help here? Hallelujah. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 5. And you want to know how you know you're worried about something? Are you ready for a litmus test to find out if you're thinking about it, you're worried about it. You say, well, Pastor, I got to think about it to do this, to go out in life, and there's things you got to think. I don't mean that. If you're constantly thinking about it and rehearsing it in your mind, that's a good sign you're worried about it. Amen? You say, well, I don't know what to do. Well, you will today. You will today. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Oh, yes, Father, that is so precious. Before I read this verse, do you know that the Bible says that pride is one thing that the Lord hates? And that pride comes before the what? Does anybody know? The fall. Pride always comes before a person falls. Look at the devil. The devil was in heaven as an angel, as Lucifer. The Bible says that the devil was a beautiful creation of God. He was in heaven with the Lord. And remember, the Bible says that the devil said, I will exalt and I will exalt my throne above his. He tried to overthrow God. Always remind the devil of how much of a moron he is. You want to get him off your back? I say, I've done stupid things, devil, but that was the dumbest thing anyone has ever done in the history of the world. Stop beating yourself up. Don't let the devil tell you you've done some dumb things. He did the dumbest thing. He was in the presence of God and still failed. He saw God face to face, was an angel dwelling with God, and he still failed. He is a loser. He is a failure. He's the biggest failure to ever walk the face of this earth. So stop letting him tell you, you missed it here with your kids, you missed it here in your marriage, your 2 marriages, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 marriages. Stop it. He's a bigger failure than you'll ever think of ever being. And Jesus came to forgive you for all your failures. So if you ask Jesus for forgiveness, it's like you never failed. Praise God. You are righteous. Stop believing lies of that loser. He's a failure who got his rear end kicked out of heaven. Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning. What a show that must have been. I wish I had a bowl of popcorn and a big old Pepsi for that one, just to see the devil's rear get kicked out of heaven. Glory to God. He's a loser. I'll tell you, stop letting him talk to you. Do some talking back. Who likes to be laughed at? I don't. Start laughing at him. He tells you you're not going to pay your bills. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, that's a funny one, devil, because the Word says, oh, your body's not going to be healed. Oh, that's a good one. If you have to just stir it up, just start fake laughing at. You like being laughed at? I don't. He don't like it either. He'll shut up real quick. You remind him, oh, I want to remind you, devil, you're going to burn in hell for eternity. There's no forgiveness for you. You will be in the lake of fire until this forever. It'll never stop, and it's going to be painful, and it's going to be hot. Have fun down there, and I'll tell you what, he'll leave you alone. Yeah, get bold with him. Get bold with him. Glory, glory, glory. Anyways, pride comes before the fall. I said all that to get you to this verse. Humble. Pride and humble don't go together. Somebody that's prideful is not very humble. Humble yourselves. Oh, I love this. Under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. When God exalts you, oh, it's good. When you humble, say, how do I humble myself? What does he mean there? Humble yourselves. It tells you in verse 7. Verse 7 we'll go to real quick. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Sometimes our computer does this. Casting. Casting. Why does it say casting? Because it's a continuation of the last verse. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Casting your care upon him before he cares for you. You say, I don't understand how me casting my care upon him is me humbling myself. You see, when you carry the care around and you think, I'm going to carry it around, I'm going to try to figure this out myself, you're saying, I got this, God. I don't need your help. I got the answer more than you. That's why it says, humble yourself. What's humbling? I can't do it. I need you. This thing that's on me, it's too big for me. But it's not too big for you, so I'm going to cast it. I'm going to humble myself by saying, I'm not big enough. I'm not good enough to do this, but you are. I give it to you. And so I'm going to talk to you real quick about casting all your care upon him. For he cares for you. One translation says, he affectionately cares for you. One translation says, it matters to him because it matters to you. Yeah, people think, God's got so many things. There's so many people going through worse, or my thing's so big, and maybe he just doesn't want to be troubled. If it matters to you, it matters to Him. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. He demonstrated it by sending Jesus. So casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. So that tells you that you have something to do. When it says care, what is the cares? The worries of this world, the anxieties that you have, the fear that you have, the stuff that's bogging you down. And I guarantee you that every single human being in this place, including the pastor, has things that try to trouble them. Have heavyweight trials, have heavyweight cares, and you've been carrying it around. You don't have what it takes to carry it around. You don't have what it takes to be victorious and to carry it around and just put that thing on your back. It'll weigh you down. It'll weigh you down, and you will not walk into victory. You were never meant to do this by yourself. He's the vine. You're the branches. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. When you try to carry everything around on your own and doing it your own way, you will get bogged down, and it will crush you, and it'll just be constantly just pushing you down. Anybody felt that way? It's like so heavy, you could just cut it with a knife? You're not supposed to carry it. The Bible says that you're to cast it onto Him. We are going to walk out of this place today completely carefree. We are. We are. And I'm going to give you instructions what to do, because it's going to try to come back on you. Just like that was going to try to come back on that woman with the issue of blood, that sickness. Jesus said, you got to be in peace. You know how many times I've seen people healed of stuff and the same problem comes back on it. Why? They're not in peace. When they're not in peace, they're not in faith. You got to go in peace. You got to go in faith. Casting your care upon Him. You know, if you go to my house, and our new house, thank God, has a playroom, because our old playroom used to be our living room, which was tiny as it was. And, I mean, it was just toys everywhere. And now there's toys everywhere in a playroom, which is cool, because they all stay in the playroom. But there's sometimes that Caleb will get a toy, or a toy will break, or he needs batteries put in, or he needs something fixed, and he'll bring it to me and say, Daddy, do it. Daddy, do it. He'll bring it to me and say, and so I'll take it. A lot of times, if I'm not going as fast as he thinks I should, or he just thinks he wants to get his little hands in there, he'll say, Caleb does it. Caleb does it. And he'll rip it out of my hand. And guess what? The problem doesn't get fixed. Problem doesn't get fixed when he takes it from Daddy. But when he gives it back to Daddy, Daddy starts working on the problem. But when Caleb does it, Caleb do it. Caleb does it. He takes it from me. I can't do anything about it anymore. Same thing. When you cast it onto God, He can do something about it. But when you take that back, the Father's hands are off it. It's up to you to cast it there, but it's up to you to leave it there once you cast it. And I can't stress to you enough how important it is for you to stay in peace, how important it is for you to stay in God's victory. And it is possible because Jesus said so. He said, take no thought for your life. Really, Lord? Really? When he says, he doesn't mean don't take a thought. Like, you have to think about things. You have to think about what you're doing tomorrow. He says, what he's saying there in the context is don't worry. Don't worry. Really, Jesus? Really, I can go through this life as a parent, as a business owner, as a grandparent, as whatever, without worry? Absolutely you can. Praise God, you sure can. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Casting your care on Him should be a one-time thing. And if it's not, it's because you took it back. Let me tell you what casting your care on Him isn't. Okay, I'm going to cast my care. I believe, I see it. I can have all my needs met. I'm going through a heavyweight financial trial. Father, I give that to you, and I thank you that that's all going to work out. Okay, so you feel the relief. The thought rips through your mind by the enemy. Your bills are still on your desk. You still have to pay that. You don't have enough money. You know what casting care on Him isn't? Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Oh man, I don't know how. That's not casting care. You know what casting your care looks like? That ain't my problem. It ain't my problem anymore, devil. I gave it to God. That's casting your care. Or, Lord, you know what's going on in my body. I believe in healing. I see it in the Word. And Lord, you know what's going on in me. You see what the doctors say. You see the innermost part of my body. You know how it works. I cast this care of this sickness onto you, Lord. And then the symptoms come back. Or you go see the doctor and nothing's changed. You know what casting your care looks like? He took it. It's His problem. There was Smith Wigglesworth. He's a minister from the 1920s, an apostle of faith, did many wonder miracles, raised, I think, 13 people from the dead, confirmed cases. A mighty man of God. He was walking in the courtyard one day with another minister, and his secretary came, running to him with all this huge stack of bills, with a look of worry and fear on her face. And I'm going to show you what he did. I didn't see it because I wasn't there, but documented. She comes and the stack is just huge, and the ministry, worldwide ministry. She says, Smith, all these bills came in. What are we going to do? He grabs the bills and he goes, they're not my problem, they're God's. They're not my problem, they're God's problem. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches. My bills are not my problem. My healing is not my problem. Whether or not my kids, now I have a part to play, don't get me wrong, but my kids growing up in the will of God, I've casted my kids in the care of my kids. Now I have to do what's right, and I'll get to that. But as far as worrying about it, it's His. It's His, praise God, hallelujah. Glory to God. Not my problem. Some of you need to just cast those bills on God and just throw them and say, they're not my problem. Now, I know you have to get them up and write out the checks to pay them, but the faith behind the statement. And obviously someone had to come by and pick those up and they had to mail them out, but the faith behind the statement of, don't you try to get me worried about this. Don't you try to take me out of this. And I'm just showing you, devil, boo, they ain't mine. Glory to God. Casting all your care upon him. Now, let me just say this real quick. When it comes to your care, and it could be different for everyone. It could be a family thing. It could be financial. It could be physical. It could be you're worried. You're afraid. It could be with your job, your business. Who knows? It could be a combination. It could be all of them, right? Some people just have a lot of cares. And when it comes to those things, it's important that you obey what God's telling you. Because if you cast your care onto him, but you're disobeying what he's telling you, it's not going to work. You still have to be obedient. So what you do then is you make that adjustment. And when you make that adjustment of, I'm going to obey you, the situation isn't automatically going to change. So therefore, once you make the adjustment of obedience, you then cast it on him. And then you can be in full confidence to know it's on his plate now. And see, he doesn't fail. God never fails. God never fails ever. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He wants you to cooperate with him. But you need to cast your cares upon him. So what we're going to do today, and I'll show you how we're going to do this. And always remember that thing, the Lord gave that to me, about the toy with Caleb. When you try to rip it back out of the Father's hand, how do you rip it out of the Father's hands? You're starting to worry about it. You're starting to talk about it. All those bills, all my finances, all my health, all this. You have just ripped it back out of the Father's hand, and now Daddy's hands are off, and he can't do anything with it. So what we're going to do is we're going to cast our cares on God today. We're going to cast everything that's been troubling you, whatever's been troubling you and trying to rob you, if it's finances, health, family, we're going to cast that on God. And then from this point on, when we walk out of here, and I'm going to mention this again because faith comes by hearing. When you walk out of here and that situation comes in your face and those thoughts come into you, your response is, that's not my care anymore. It's his. And every time you think of it, you say, I thank you, that's changing. I thank you, that's changing because Daddy's got it now. See, when Daddy takes the toy, it changes for the better for Caleb. When Caleb takes the toy, it stays the same way. Same with you. When you try to fix it, nothing get better. In fact, it probably goes the other way. Yeah, but when you give it over to him, doesn't mean the thoughts aren't going to come. Doesn't even mean it might not even look worse in the natural. It might look 10 times worse. It's not my problem. I trust you, Lord. I believe you, and your faith will make you whole. Now, what I'm about to do might seem elementary. It might seem a little corny, but I'm going to have Jeff pass out a piece of paper to everybody. And you don't have to put your name on it. I'm not even going to look at these. What we're going to do is we're going to write down every single care, everything that's been troubling us. We're going to put it in the offering bucket, and I'm going to hold it before God. And why am I doing this? Because you'll never forget this. And every time it comes back up in your mind, you'll say, that I casted it on Sunday morning, September 22nd, 2013. I gave that to God, and it's changing. And so we're going to write down everything that's been troubling you. You can crumple them up. You can fold them up. Like I said, we're just going to throw them away after. I'm not going to go looking through it and say, oh, I think I know that handwriting. That's not the purpose of this. The purpose is for you to cast it. We're going to hold it before the Lord and say, Lord, you said to cast our trials onto you. Here they are. Amen? So go ahead, brother, and serve the people. There should be pens in the back of the... I'll take one, too. Thank you very much. Say, Pastor, you have things that try to trouble you? Oh, you better believe it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Casting your cares. Casting. Remember, if you do this, he said he'll exalt you. What's the exaltation? The fixing of the problem. Humble yourselves to give it to him. Praise God. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Praise God. Take 5 minutes and, I mean, everything that's troubling you, put it down there. Nobody has to see next to you. This is between you and God. The ushers won't see it. Your pastor won't see it. It's between you and God. But we're going to do what the Bible says, and we're going to cast it on Him, and we're going to walk out of here carefree. Hallelujah. Say, why are we doing this? God told me to. Church finance. Let's see. We'll give you 5 minutes. Praise God. Praise God. He loves you so much. Casting your care. My mom's list will probably be shorter now that I'm out of the house. Probably a lot shorter, really, if you think about it. Praise God. I got my cares on here. I ain't carrying them no more. You just take your time. No rush here. Put them all down. Why? You want to get rid of every single one of them. Praise God. Now, if there's any adjustments you need to make in your heart, you just make them. Just say, Lord, okay, I'll change that. Because maybe some of the cares we're carrying are self-inflicted things, right? Just make the adjustment. God will help you. He's merciful. He's not beating you up. He just said, confess your sins. Just confess them. That's how faithful He is. He makes it so simple, so easy. Man, I'm always having to say, Lord, I'm so sorry. But He's faithful, the Bible says, and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Michelle, if you could make a copy of this message for Dr. Katie, because she's in the nursery, and thank you. Praise God. And anybody listening by live stream, you do this with us. Write down your cares. We're going to hold them before the Lord, and we're going to cast them on Him. And we're going to release our faith. Praise God. He loves you so much. Praise the Lord. They're all just going to get thrown away anyways. Once you fold them up, they're just going to go right in the trash. Why? Because why would we want them anymore? We don't want them anymore. That's why we're doing this. If we could light them on fire in here, we would. But I don't know if that'd work too well. Praise the Lord. Casting all your care. What's troubling you? What's trying to rob you of your peace? Is it your children? Is it your spouse? Is it your business? Is it your family? Is it what is it? God cares about every area of your life. Romans 8:32. How then He who spared not His only Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? He's showing you everything on this list pales in comparison to what He already did for you through Jesus. Showing you that what He did through Jesus, the answer is yes to you. Glory to God. Your problem's healing. Healing's not a problem. He gave you Jesus. Your problem's finances. Finances aren't a problem. He gave you Jesus. Your problem's your family. Your family's not an issue. He gave you Jesus. Glory to God. Just take two more minutes here. We'll get going with this. Praise God. Go with me real quick while we're filling this out. We're going to look up on the screen. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Now everybody listen up to this, because this is instructions for you. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. This has become one of my all-time favorite verses in the history of verses. You will keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace affords you the opportunity to have faith and to destroy what comes your way. I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed or fixed on thee. What does that mean? Whose mind is on the Word. Whatever's troubling you, after you cast it on him, you need to get scripture on what that thing is. If it's financial, you need to get financial scriptures. If it's healing, you need to get healing scriptures. If it's with your family, you need to get things for that. And if you need help, come see me and I'll give you scriptures. That way, you can keep your mind on what the Bible says. So when the devil rips a thought through your mind that's opposite of what you just casted your care, if your mind, listen, when you're going through a financial trial, if your mind is, my God shall supply all my needs. He died to be poor so that I could be rich. I have more than enough. He's the God who's more than enough. If you have your mind on healing, you'll stay in peace. I heard it said this way. It's so true. Seemingly not enough money will not trouble the person when they think right. When you think right according to what the Bible says you are financially, you say, but I don't see it. It doesn't matter. God doesn't work on you seeing it and then believing it.
That's right. Amen.
The mind that is thinking right is not troubled when the doctor's report comes in negative. You're not troubled because you know the real doctor's report says, this is getting taken care of. I'm healed.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. It's true. Okay, brother, if you wait on the people, just drop those in there. Hallelujah. And then if you could bring it back up when we're done. Hallelujah. This is called getting free today, getting carefree today, walking out of here set free. Michelle, if you'd go back to 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, that would be good, please. Hallelujah. It's time for you to stop carrying it around. He never intended for you to carry it around. Say, man, this just seems so weird. Well, you won't forget it then, right? A lot of weird things I don't forget. Praise God. All right, whole bucket of cares. Going to go in the trash. Glory to God. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Now, we're going to cast this on God right now, once and for all. What I want you to do is you just hook up in your agreement with me. I'll pray the prayer, but you in your heart and in your agreement, you just hook up. I agree with that, right? I'm with that. I believe that. And then after here, we're done. We'll give you some quick instructions. What's going on? Oh, it's phone. I thought that was the music back there. And then I thought our thing was going off. So anyways, when I do this, I'll give you instructions after that of what we need to do to walk out of here. So here it is, once and for all. Everything that you've been carrying around, all the weights, right now, we're giving it to Him. Amen? It's going off of you, and it's going on to Him forever. The Bible says to cast all your care upon Him. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to You this morning. And Father, You said in Your word that we should not be anxious about anything. Father, You have afforded us and You have told us that we can live in peace, that we can live in victory. Father, You said in Your word to cast all our care upon You, for You care for us. Father, You don't want us to struggle. You don't want us to bear the heavy load anymore. You don't want us to try to hold up the heavyweight trial. No, Father, just like Caleb, when he gives it to Daddy, I can fix the problem. But when he takes it from me, we're done taking it from You, Lord. And we say right now, once and for all, everybody say this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I cast all my care upon You once and for all. And I thank You that everything that I wrote on that list will change, will turn around, will work out for my good. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! They're gone now. Now, when the thought comes, because the situation did not change in the natural, and this is where you need to get it. Your finances will not, go ahead, go home and log into MNT.com, and there won't be any more money in your bank account. Go home and check your checkbook, or go home, you might even be able to check your body, and maybe there's the symptoms are still there. Maybe that situation with the family member, it hasn't changed, but now it's in the hands of the one that will change it. When Caleb gives me that, it doesn't automatically change instantly until Daddy has time with it, amen? Daddy's got it now, and so don't take it back. And now your instruction is find scriptures based on what you wrote in this bucket. And keep your mind on those every day. If it's finances, meditate on finances. You'll be in peace. Meditate on healing. Meditate on victory. Meditate on peace. Meditate on having a lack of fear. Meditate on those and respond. He'll have what He says. Every time the devil tries to get you to take it back, you say, on September 22nd at 11:15 in the morning, because it's a little bit after 11:15, so we probably prayed that 11:15. At September 22nd at 11:15 in the morning, I casted that care. It's not mine anymore. That thing's changing, devil. Just thought I'd let you know. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your goodness. Father, I'm carefree right now. Glory to God. I ain't got a care in the world. Praise Your name. We bless You, Father. We bless You. We thank You for Your mercy. Right now, if you really believed that all these things were turning around and that these things were really changing, it would show up in your praise. Let's begin to rejoice for what we just, for all the things changing. Thank you, Father. I thank you. I don't have to worry about that anymore. I thank you. That thing's gone. I thank you. It's in your lap now. It's in your hands now. I rejoice and I thank you for that, Father. Thank you for victory in that area. Thank you for victory in that area. Thank you for victory in that area, Father. We love you. We praise you. We give you glory. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you glory. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' name. The Lord just dropped this into my spirit. Who's here has got the heart problem? Who here's got the heart problem? Come up here right now and get hands laid on you and you're going to be healed. Don't wait. Don't wait till the end of service and say that was me. We've had that happen before. If you got a heart issue, don't be embarrassed. This is your help. Who's got the heart problem? The Lord just dropped it in my spirit. Somebody here's got a heart issue. Let's begin to worship God. Someone will come forward. Praise you, Father. We bless you, Lord. Lord wants to heal you. Don't. Praise God. We're going to be patient. Praise the Lord. You say, Pastor, you're being patient because you're afraid nobody's going to come up. Nope, I've been here too many times. I know the voice of God, and I know when he tells me something, and people are just shy. Listen. Don't you will help the service and you will help people's faith and knowing that their pastor hears from God too. But come get your healing. I will not lay hands on you after service when you come up to me. The anointing will have lifted. If you're struggling with a heart issue, come. And I don't mean a heart like, I mean physical. You have something been told is bad with your heart. Praise God. Let's just praise him and wait. Praise God. Let's wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we worship you tonight. We worship you today, Lord. We praise your holy name. We praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Is there anything else, Father? Is there anything else, Father? Anything else, Father? We just worship you. We thank you. Today's a new day. Today's a new day. Today's a new day. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Let me just say this because it'll help you. Because the Lord... I could pick you out right now, but I won't. The Lord just dropped you into my heart. And the reason I won't is because I don't want to embarrass anybody. The Lord right now is telling you in your spirit, get off that seat. Go get your healing. Praise God. Don't miss this opportunity. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's why I'm not rushing through this. Because I want to see that person just get it completely. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. What's going on, Michelle? What have the doctors said? You just having some problems in there, in your heart? Chest pains and stuff like that? Lord wants to heal you. He's not trying to embarrass you. He did this because he loves you so much. Amen. You know, when I call stuff out like that, it's not to put on a show. I need to hear from heaven. So let's go ahead and let's just believe God for healing right now, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, we command this heart to be healed. We command this heart to be whole. And we thank you, Father, for healing from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. We call that heart problem gone. We call it healed and whole in Jesus' name. Amen. Just begin to worship God. Just begin to praise God. Hallelujah. He loves her. You know, when God does stuff like that, it's not to embarrass you. It's called a word of knowledge, where the Lord will drop something in my spirit, and he'll have me call it out. And just so you know, I'm not up here panicking if nobody comes up. I know when I hear from God. Yeah. Amen? But God wants to help her. Those chest pains are gone. It's gone. It's gone. You're healed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you today. Just love on him. Just love on him. We love you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We magnify you, Lord. We glorify you. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for the move of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the move of the Holy Ghost. I was just crying out to him this morning, Lord, we want the move of the Holy Ghost. We want you in our services. You know, so many churches are trying to kick the Holy Spirit out, yet when the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, and they got filled with tongues, and they spoke in a language that people thought it was crazy, and the move of God happened, and we would think, oh, you don't want that in church because people will get offended. 3,000 people got born again. Because the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost. Remember Peter and John walking by the lame man, And they looked at him, the lame man who hadn't walked, had the problem with his foot, and they looked at him, and Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have you, I give you in the name of Jesus, rise and walk." The guy jumped up and walked. A move of the Holy Ghost. 5,000 people got saved from that one. When people start seeing this kind of stuff in our services, where people are getting healed and things are getting called out, and people, God reveals things that how could he know that? Bible says when secrets are made revealed, people will fall on their face and realize, of a truth, God is real. God is real. Amen? So your job is to crave and desire these things. Praise the Lord. Well, just real quick before we close service, I want to make sure there's nothing else. Father, is there anything else you want to do here today? Anything else you want to do here today? Father, we love you. We're just so thankful. We're carefree today. We walk out of here with no cares. You got those cares, Father. They're not ours to bear anymore. We love you. We praise you. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We do have some coffee and cookies. We invite you to stay in fellowship. And also we'll